And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to greet you all this morning. So I'm up here. My name is Deborah Bartz of Learn, Conquer, Soar Coaching. And I wanted just to give you a brief history of a lack of mentorship in my life. 1970, I was 10 years old and wanted to fly airplanes. And I didn't, I was always told no. So there was a number of years that I had one mentor, it was my aunt, that was my mom's sister, who helped me to get through a lot of things and challenges in my life. And she was supportive in helping me to go to the Air Force Academy. So I was the third class of women to go through there. And then went off to pilot training. And about 3 years after pilot training, I was in command of an airplane at 26 years old. And so refueled airplanes all over the world. And it was very enjoyable. However, there was a lot of resistance and there was a lack of mentorship, as some of you can probably be pretty aware of, for those of you that went into some non-traditional roles. So I can see a couple of you in the audience. What happened is that after that, I went into the airlines, and I also kept my Air Force job. And then I started getting the body burden in my mid-30s, and I got supraventricular tachycardia at 35, and started on my downward spiral with the traditional medical system. And there wasn't a lot of help. I almost lost my position as a flyer at that point in time. So I fought the system and was able to continue on flying. Then at age 42 to 50, there was a lot more decline that was happening. And at age 50, I ended up having so many issues with autoimmunity. So all the stress, all the things that happens to a body over time, and also you think that you're eating a really good diet. So I went off to school because I had like six specialists and they couldn't figure it out. So that has brought me to this group. It's been a long journey. I've been 8 years in my own practice of Learn, Conquer, Soar Coaching, and I have been, it's been very beneficial for my clients, some of my career choice, and also with the travelers and all of that. So I really understand Dr. Rita Marie's path and how she ended up, you know, needing mentorship, but she had to find all of that path herself. And she has given us the opportunity as this group. You are an awesome group. I have met some of you, and I would like to meet all of you at some point. So I just wanted to congratulate all of you for showing up and acting in life and also with your clients. And Dr. Rita Marie, since I've met her in 2016, I have just been awed by all of the things that she's put together for us so that it makes it easier for me and my business. So to no further ado here, Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo, and give everybody a standing ovation. Standing ovation, come on, up, 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 up.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody feeling this morning? Some of you didn't wake up yet this morning. What's happening? Did you get full yesterday? Is anybody like over full and wants to go home? Who wants to learn more? Yes? All right. Yay. So a couple of things I just want to share with you. Number one, this doesn't have to be learned in a day. It doesn't have to be mastered in a weekend. So those of you who are like, how am I going to learn all this? How am I going to do this? You will be able to use what you've learned this weekend and take imperfect action. Who here is okay with taking imperfect action? Where is everybody? Would you guys go check the halls and make sure that there's no people like straggling or going to the wrong room or trying to get the coffee in Danish at the meeting next door? So that's the thing that we do. Like, we're so passionate about wanting to help people. We're so passionate about getting this out there that we get paralyzed. We get paralyzed because I don't know enough. Who's ever felt that way? I don't know enough to get out there. You are already enough. You already know enough to help lots of people. You already know enough to help people who maybe are a little behind you on a path to wellness. Maybe you're not equipped enough to help those super complicated cases that have been to 6 doctors and still don't have any solutions and have tried everything. But you will. You will be able to help them. And you'll be surprised at how many of them you can help now. Do you know what I mean? You will be surprised because you think you don't know enough, and then you have a conversation, and you might say one phrase that changes that person forever. So I want to encourage you to take what you have already, to know that you are enough, and to take this forward and take imperfect action. Louisa left here last year. She's our optometrist, our integrative functional optometrist. Boy, my brain is not working today. Optometrist. And she said, I'm going to take what I learn, and as I learn it, I'm going to teach my patients. She didn't say I have to wait to be like her. She doesn't say I have to wait to have 5 years experience with this. She didn't say I have to wait till I finish the program. Everything she learns, she takes and she transfers to her patients. And as a result, these patients who she's seeing diabetic retinopathy in their eye, a lot of times that's one of the first places it's detected because nobody's doing the right testing, which you're going to learn how to do. She takes imperfect action. Is she perfect? Do you know everything? No. But how are your patients doing?
Better.
Better, right? And she even brought a couple with her, right? So part of it is the confidence and competence. When you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I may say, I'm going to get back to you on that. And then I'm going to find out. And it's part of the learning journey. You know what I mean? So we're all here on a journey. We have a big mission, don't we? Right? Our big mission, remember our big mission? Do we have that? Which way do I go? It's not moving. Oh, maybe it has to be turned on. That's a novel idea. Remember our mission is a new paradigm of healthcare. Who wants a new paradigm of healthcare? Yes? Who doesn't? Who likes the way it is right now, wants it to stay status quo? Anybody? Okay. That you're in the wrong room and go down and have the Danish and the coffee at the other room and learn whatever the heck they're learning. What?
About time.
About time? Oh, theirs is about pain. You can learn about opioids and all kinds of anti-inflammatories and the latest COX-2 inhibitors. And maybe I'm just being biased. Maybe they're on doing, energy medicine for pain, or maybe it's an acupuncture for pain seminar. We should find out, right? Because I went right to judgment, right? Oh God, they're the regular people doing pain, opioids and anti-inflammatories and hurting people. There's times when we need pain medications, right? Get that. So this mission is totally possible. All right, there we go. I'm going to go back here. This is very crazy. Ay-ya-la-di. Okay, we'll see there. So what I want to hear is, are there any aha moments? Something where a light bulb went on yesterday and you go, oh, I get that. Oh, wow, that's really cool. Something about your own health, about somebody you're working with, something about a strategy you can incorporate. Anybody? Go ahead, and mics. Stand up when you, right here. Stand up when you put your hand up.
So I thought it was interesting yesterday when one crumb of those breadcrumbs on your salad can set you off on 8 weeks plus 8 weeks. And I think I've been sort of in the 2 days type of time frame. So that was aha. So.
Yeah, that's a big aha, right? Because when our patients say to us, I don't know why I'm not feeling so good. I was feeling really great for a while, and I don't know why I'm not feeling so well. And my headaches have come back. My brain fog's come back. Not as bad as it was, but what do you think's going on? Maybe I need another supplement. What herb do I need to take now? What's missing? What test do I need to run? And you say, Tell me more, right? That's the question. Tell me more. What have you been doing the last couple of weeks? Have you been into any unusual places? Have you visited someplace? What have you been eating lately? Oh, well, just my regular diet, 100%. Or did you, when you traveled last week, what did you eat at the hotel? Well, you know, there was nothing else there, so I had a little bit of the bread with my meal, but only a little bit, right? Or I had a salad and they had croutons on it, so I ate it anyway because I didn't want to be a burden to anybody. Who's done that? Who's actually done that? I don't want to be a burden, so I'll eat the salad with the cheese and the croutons on it, even though I know it's bad for me because it'll only last 2 days. You know, I'll just have a stomach ache for 2 days, not knowing that if you have autoimmunity, that those antibodies are going to be triggered for 6 months. And when I've said that to Tom O'Brien, 6 months, he goes, yeah, 6 months in a good way. Might be a year for some people, 9 months to a year. But that's not that the symptoms are going to be back fully. We don't have to have symptoms to have dysfunction. And that's something we really need to hone in on and make sure our clients are aware of. Right? There are some people who could, I mean, they could drink a container of gasoline and not have immediate symptoms. But what body burden is that putting on their digestive tract, their liver, their brain, right? We don't have to have symptoms to be in dysfunction. It's an indication that you are. If you do have symptoms, you are in dysfunction. But just because you don't have symptoms doesn't mean you're not in dysfunction. And we need to identify those habits that people are doing that are creating an imbalance and a dysfunction in the body and move with it. And these genes will help you to help them to know, oh my God, don't pump your own gas or stand upwind of it, not downwind of it. Or when you pull your car into your garage, some of the detox tips we'll look at a little bit later this morning. When you pull your car into the garage, you know, when you put the garage door down and it's an attached garage, the fumes that if you just turn that thing off, the gas fumes are going to go under your little, like, door thing, door jam. So don't close the garage door for 20 minutes. Talk about an easy, an easy one step to pull down the body burden, right? Find those easy ones to start. Stand upwind of the gas when you pump it. Ask the attendant to pump it for you. Close your garage. Don't close your garage door. Wait like 20 minutes before you close your garage door instead of doing it right away. So I would advise you as we go through these, find those little simple things to start with. Let's get you buying some glass containers. I saw them on sale at Walgreens the other day. Get yourself a set of those and start putting your food in there when you're done, right? Oh, don't drink out of those plastic bottles. Buy yourself one of these nice stainless steel bottles or a glass bottle with a case. Little simple things that they can do. They can feel like they have success. They won't see a difference, right? They're not going to just suddenly feel better from that, but you're on the way to take away the body burden. We're going to talk a lot more about body burden today because we're going to talk detox and detox pathways and how you can optimize those detox pathways. So thank you. Anybody else have an aha? Yes, I see you with the mic. Go ahead. Yes, stand up.
So this genetics is so profound. Like, it's opening up, like, so many portals into my, like, life, and I know my patients, too. So I'll cut to the chase. My mother's mother died when I was very young at 62. And through many, many years later, I found out she was schizophrenic and mentally ill, and she was never able to raise my mother. My mother was raised by her grandmother. Oh. Ooh, I'm going to cry about all this, but
it's okay.
So
you're in a safe place.
My mother is depressed and anxious. She's the kindest person ever, but so you go down two generations, and I'm looking at my genetics, and all of my SNPs, which aren't so bad, really, they point to schizophrenia. And so, like, if some doctors will tell people if you have schizophrenia in your lineage, like, don't have a child because there's, like, a 40% likelihood that you could have schizophrenia. And I can tell you, I get told by people all the time, like, you know, like, I'm, like, so smart and I'm so grounded and I have, like literally no mental illness, like, in my body. Like, and it's, like, all it is like, it could, like, my grandmother could have not have had this and she could have raised my mother if it was for zinc and vitamin D and methylated B vitamins. And it's, like, so freaking amazing.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Right? You're a classic walking example of epigenetic modification and how the lifestyle support changes things. And I'm getting teary too because I think about what your mother's life could have been had someone known and stepped in and talked to her. Now I need a tissue. I cry easily, so excuse me. Tissue.
I called my mom this morning and I said, Mom, I need you to do this genetics testing. My dad already did it, right? I need you to do this genetics. They're divorced. I need you to do this genetics testing, and I'm going to buy it for you for Christmas because she doesn't spend money on anything. And
yeah.
And so she goes, oh, all right, well, I was really looking for a watch. And I felt like saying, what, so you can tell the time until your decline, or are we going to show the time until your life, right? So I'm going to buy it for her anyway, and she's going to do it because I told her to.
She's going to do it. And you just have to get her to spit. So get her mad. She'll spit at you. You catch it. Thank you. All right. Anybody else have an aha? Yeah, go ahead. Lynn Rose over here. Right here.
Well, I was really fascinated with some of the stuff that Donna Gates brought up, too, the phages and some of the other things that she kind of had to zoom through. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more about that. So.
We'll bring her in for an ACR with an NEPT. We'll bring her in. I was thinking that as I sat there, she needs to go into more depth with this. So we'll bring her into the program, especially with that stuff. Yeah. And she introduced a lot of the genes that I have on the sheets. And she introduced a couple of others, which I need to do some research on. Anybody go through? I got a sneak peek. Somebody took a pic. Everybody sitting at the table doing their stuff. So that was you guys. All right, so what'd you find? Anybody find anything interesting or exciting? Oh, is somebody waiting? Go ahead, and we'll come back. Come, give them the mic. Give them the mic. So.
It wasn't a question. It was just an aha moment. It wasn't a question.
That's fine. Aha's good.
A few, but one is that your sense of olfaction is potentially indicative of loss of brain function. I wasn't aware of that. Thylates, maternal serum thylates can significantly decrease IQ of your little one. So back to your
those are big, right? And really, and who works here? Who works with pregnant women? Yeah, right? So all the stuff that you can do, and women are going to be more motivated to make changes for their own body when it's for baby, right? More motivated than just on their own. Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. But, oh, your baby is getting poisoned. Like in utero, you can be creating infertility because all those eggs are there and exposure to pesticides can create an imbalance where the eggs are not very good, right? So all these things that moms are doing to us. My mom did it to me. Yeah. Thank you. So who are you guys over here? Where'd you go with the mic? Somebody.
Hello. I just wanted to have an aha that happened to me when I went through my SNPs last night. I couldn't believe all of the things that were going on from what I got from my parents. And it ended up that I was doing all the stuff that I was supposed to be doing. So I was really happy about
nice.
That.
You're intuitively guided to that, to support. Yes. Good. Thank you. Okay, so you somebody over here had an aha. You guys wanted to tell me about your experience right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. You already have a mic. Sorry, I didn't see you. You just got out of the way perfectly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a great experience. I just thought I had a lot of reds and I had a lot of yellows. But so I, like the last person, instinctively already started because I'm a health coach and I started taking care of myself in my 40s about 17 years ago. So I was thankful that I had come across, high quality supplements and lifestyle changes and eating well and getting rid of gluten because I have all the celiac genes.
You have
and
all
so
the
forth.
Celiac genes.
Well, yeah. I have pretty much all the genes, all the SNPs.
You had a bright red.
We call her Lady Red.
Lady Red. Oh boy.
But
look how functional you are.
I'm doing great. I just have to be really careful and take quite a few supplements. But I can help a lot of people and show them that, it's possible to have, not great genes and still thrive and do well and fulfill your purpose.
Exactly. So, yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And it's so true, right? And so people, many people give up because mom had schizophrenia. I might as well kill myself now. I don't want to get schizophrenia, right? So it's, and we can give people hope. But we also, you know, there's so many people who say, it's not fair. My sister does this or that, or my friend does this or that, and they're, look how healthy they are, and eat really healthfully. And if I have one little slip up, and we get it, it's in the genes, don't have the slip up, right? And I always ask, you know, I say, there's a quote that one of my patients actually said to me many years ago. She said, here's what you've taught me. She said, don't exchange what I want most for what I want in the moment. Don't exchange what I want most for what I want in the moment. And that's what we end up doing. I want that chocolate cake. I want that cookie. I want that. I want to be social with my friends, and I don't want to seem like I'm a pain, and I'll just eat what they serve me, right? But that's not what you want. And so what I say is right at the beginning, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but right at the beginning, getting them in touch with what they want most and keep reminding them of what they want most. Cool. All right, so ready to move on? Anybody else have some stuff? Who actually worked on some of their snips with the sheets? Yeah, good. Did you find those sheets helpful? Help to really pinpoint and, yeah? Good. Well, we have more of them. Let me just make sure there's a couple of other housekeeping things I wanted to cover. And, yeah, so as far as our charity, can you guys put up the slide? So I want to thank you all for your amazing generosity so far with donating. Who was not in the room when we talked about the charity yesterday? You? Okay. You have donated. Good for you. So we basically had some very nice numbers as of last night, and they're going to put up in the top. Okay, so, yeah. So top donation, $525. Donations collected, $3,053. Isn't that amazing? Give yourselves a hand. So our top five contributors, Platinum Events, Ginger Montgomery, Lori Gottlieb. Yay. Let's give everybody a hand. Michelle Melendez and Jill Wood. Oh, wait. There's two people on that third line, which means that's three and four. So... yes, you can. So those of you, can you edit that slide to have the amounts that each of those donated so people who are competitive here may want to know how much they need to add to their already donation? And if they haven't done it, they add. So Scott, can you do that? Yeah. So if the top one was 525, that's the one to beat so far, right? So to get in the top five, you're going to have to do, you know, at least 500, but you're probably not going to get there unless you do more than 500 because each of these people had to do 500 to get in there. So remember the prize. I just wanted to remind you of the prizes, the $100 level. So the people there will get all of the levels below. So they'll get the $100 prize, which is the Day of Biofield Healing, which is amazing. Plus, everybody's going to get Sarah's book, which is pretty cool, and you'll get it. Who donated that got the book already? Yes, you got the book when you donated, and did you get a piece of the jewelry? Do you see the jewelry, the handiwork of these wonderful women that are being salvaged? So then the second was Trisha Nelson's, it's actually, she changed the name of it, is 10 Weeks to Freedom from Emotional Eating. And those people will get that. And then also Steph Jackson's Functional Probiotics. Who in here has done Steph Jackson's Functional Probiotics already? Pretty cool course, right? Yeah, pretty amazing. So everybody with a $500 or more donation will get that. And then the top five get Allen Hopkins $500 lab panel. So literally you're making a donation to a good cause and it's giving you back the equivalent value plus all the other prizes. And then My Green Fills starter kit. So, and then the top one needs to be $1,000 or more donation, but it's Summer Box $5,000 fermentationist certification course. So if you want to donate, yes, you can. You can go back at any break, catch the the team. Ask them what the top contributors are if you want to try to beat them, you know, and then we'll just see if we can get some healthy competition going for these top five slots, okay? Any questions? Right. We'll close this tomorrow at around noon, so we'll announce the winners, like, right after lunch. All right. Ready for more? Just check my notes, make sure I got everything. All right, before we get started, let's just tune into our hearts and our appreciation and see if we could do this in a minute and just see if you can shift. So focus on your heart, your belly. Take some long, slow, deep breaths. Feel your shoulders, neck soften and relax. Breathe in again and breathe in visualization and memory of a place, a person, a situation in which you feel amazing gratitude. Just totally grateful. And notice what's happening in your body as you do this. Notice the tension drain. Notice things soften. So we'll open up your mind. I want to do this before the sessions because it opens up the prefrontal cortex. And then when you're ready, come back in the room. Bring that feeling back. And then just all at once, when I, on the count of three, shout out one feeling that you're having right now, okay? One, two, three. Awesome. I love it. All right. Are we ready? So yesterday we did a big, you know, genetics 101. We had Tom O'Brien talk about the brain and all the things that can go wrong in the brain and the importance of basic foundational lifestyle things to get people to do and do them one at a time. Donna Gates went into a lot of different genes and the effects on them and the phages thing. And we started on the brain. We did the nutrient genes, which were the to get you used to using those sheets. And then we did the first part of the brain. And now we're going to move in to our new paradigm. Review, SNPs, okay? A, C, G, T. If it switches at that one spot, it makes a change in that enzyme. Anywhere from 20% difference to 80% difference in the effectiveness of the enzyme that's coded. All right, oops, I just can't work this thing. Brain. Okay, this is what we went over yesterday. And we want to go through the Alzheimer's genes today. So take out, oh, did you guys pass around those? Yes, yesterday? We got all the mental health ones, right? So when I finish the mental health, we'll pass out the next group that we're going to pass out of the cardiovascular. So if you could have those guys queued up, that would be great. Okay, so who has family, if anybody in their family have Alzheimer's or dementia of some sort, maybe not several of you, right? Who's been with people who've had dementia on a, right? How does that feel when someone you love has this situation going on?
Exactly when to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And I've been through it with two fathers. Wow. One was maybe a dementia, but the other was for sure an Alzheimer's. I saw my grandfather trying to climb out of a second story window when I was 8 years old and he had dementia. And his, my 4'10" great grandmother was shooting the garden hose at him to get back in the window. So I have childhood memories of Alzheimer's behavior. And it breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart too.
It's very sad.
People get more scared of having the A diagnosis than the C diagnosis, right? With cancer, you know what to expect. You're still in your brain. You wish you didn't have your mind. But with the Alzheimer's, your body's perfectly fine, and you don't remember who you are. You don't have access to who are your kids. What did you say? My mother-in-law got so bad that she would start a sentence and forget what she was saying at the beginning of the sentence and finish a different sentence. Right, she just couldn't keep track of even a single sentence, and it was devastating to see, to lose her. And that's a real good way to put it. You didn't get to say goodbye. You didn't know when to say goodbye because it just is slowly, slowly, slowly. It's scary. So we want to prevent that, and it starts early. And the thing is that a lot of Alzheimer's is related to blood sugar. They're calling it type 3 diabetes now. And it has to do with the blood sugar. And I'll share you a little mechanism. Who's read Bredesen's book on Alzheimer's, The End of Alzheimer's? Pretty profound, right? So he basically said that there's the, and there's one of them on here, the insulin-degrading enzyme, IDE. It's the last one on your sheet. The insulin-degrading enzyme also degrades, breaks down amyloid plaque. So if you're running around with high levels of insulin in your system, your patient is running around with high levels of insulin in their system, they are taking away some of the energy that that enzyme could have expended breaking down amyloid plaques. So that's one of the mechanisms that do that. And so there is a genetic tendency towards not having enough of the insulin degrading, but the diet and lifestyle are profound. And most people don't know that they have a problem with blood sugar and insulin regulation until they get the D diagnosis, right? Diabetes. They don't know it. And it's a crime that they don't know it. Because we're going to talk about it later in the blood sugar section. You guys can detect that with people 20 years before it, 30 years before the tendency there, before it becomes diabetes, so you can nip it in the bud. Because here's the thing, you know, Alzheimer's, like you said, it does slow. Before the first symptoms start, how many decades of degradation has there been? Because our bodies are pretty resilient, right? We can handle some decline, some destruction before the symptoms appear. That means that we didn't know, we didn't get the early warning that we had to do it. So everything you do, everything you teach your clients to do needs to be geared towards optimal functioning, not waiting for the diagnosis and then expecting a cure. And that's unfortunately the way medicine does it. All the commercials, take this drug, it's going to cure this, and the happy people running along going, I'm taking my, and then in the tiny print and spoken very fast is, this confers an increased risk of dementia, cardiac arrhythmias, and death. I think I'd rather have hemorrhoids, quite frankly. Thank you very much. I'll take my hemorrhoids. Better deal, right? So we need to be looking at these genes, because when someone has, you know, some color in their genes here, like their yellows and reds, we want to make sure that you're even more, I don't want to use the word forceful, but more firm about this is important. So when someone comes in and they want to lose a few pounds and they have some brain fog, like, let's work at your pace, right? At your pace to get this healed. If someone comes in with cancer or an advanced stage autoimmune disease, I'll say, look, you can choose and we can get you to do these step by step, like Donna said yesterday, and step by step, but I don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much destruction's really happened inside. So if you have cancer, you could maybe turn it around with proper nutrition, but it may take too long because it's progressed too far. Same thing with autoimmunity, right? If you've got a raging Hashimoto's thyroiditis and you're attacking your own thyroid, you don't know when you cross the line, when you cross the line. So it's really a matter of teaching people and ourselves to make the best choices now. When we have those Star Trek devices that we can hold up and scan people and see exactly what's going on inside, then maybe we have a little more leeway, right? I always tell people, you know, the thing about genetics is it tells you how much leeway you have in terms of the destructive habits. But even if you have perfect genetics and you drink arsenic, you're gonna die. Do you know what I mean? Your detox pathways could be perfect, but it's you overwhelm them and you're stuck with this, with the consequences. And we don't want that for people. I don't want that for you. And I want you to have the tools to be able to detect and turn this around for people. So let's look at the Alzheimer's. And I'm going to just talk a little bit about each of these genes. And then you guys are going to, on the break, kind of scan your own things, and if you're having any difficulty with how to do that, how to look for your own genes, and you have your reports, just ask. You can ask me, you can ask Tony, you can ask Lynn, you can ask any of our people in NEPT who have NEPT on the badge. Most of them have been through this before. How to find it, at least. So the Alzheimer's genes, and I'm looking at mine, I think I have a few of them. So I'm going to look here. And so have your page open. If you have the genetic detoxification, that's page Five, yeah. Open up to page 5, and as we're going through, scan your own, right? So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about these. If you have any of the others, you know, just kind of scan through the big, thick MTHFR support. If you have something else besides that, that's best to use right now. That's one I use for finding obscure stuff, which we may do this afternoon in the blood sugar. So ApoE, we had a lot of conversation about that yesterday. ApoE, cardiovascular risk as well as Alzheimer's risk, okay? And it's basically the way that the body processes saturated fats. So if someone has a 4-4, you've got to be super careful. Those are the people that do well on those super strict, like Esselstyn and Ornish type diets, which are super low fat. The problem is they are prescribing those kind of diets for everybody. This is the trying to get away from the one size fits all, and then they can develop fatty acid imbalances. They can develop steroid hormone imbalances because they don't have enough fats to make steroid hormones like estrogen, progesterone, et cetera. So it's really nice to know when somebody says to you, I'm thinking about going on that Esselstyn diet for this, and you go, well, you're an ApoE2 too. Like, you don't have to go on that, and I'd rather you go on a really balanced diet with whole food, plant-based fats, but don't exclude them all. Just on record, I'm not an oil person. I'm not a fan of oil because oil is to a food with fat as white flour is to a whole grain kernel. And we don't think about that because everybody touts the value. Oh, yes, just take olive oil. When they talk about adding fat to your diet, they'll say, oil, take oil, you know, olive oil, coconut oil. Eat olives, eat coconuts. Eat avocados, right? Because oil is to the whole food, fat food, the same as white flour. So if you start thinking of it that way and explaining it that way, yes, there's times when we use oils therapeutically. MCT oil for someone with Alzheimer's can actually help to restore the balance because we can't get them to eat enough coconut to get the amount of MCT they need that. There are times when it's therapeutically useful. There's times when somebody's so underweight and their stomach is not working real well and they just get full so easily, they need more calories. No, we don't want to give them sugar because that's going to be bad for everything, but we can give them a whole plant, whole pressed oil, right? So be careful with that. But with ApoE, you do need to be careful with the 4. And if there's 1-4, you have an increased risk. If there's 2-4, you have a hugely increased risk. And Dr. Tom talked about those statistics yesterday. So increased risk of the Alzheimer's, but also the cardiovascular, like Dr. Allen talked about yesterday with that ApoE and the other things. So the TOMM40 creates a protein that allows us to get fat into and out of the mitochondria. So if this one's not in good shape, we're going to have increased risk of Alzheimer's, yes, but possibly a low energy, like eating plenty of food, but not able to get the fatty foods into the mitochondria for energy. The next one is ABCA2. And some of these names, I put them down, but like, what does that mean? ATP binding cassette A2. Some of them mean something. Apolipoprotein E, that's a kind of lipoprotein. But basically, that one is transporting substances across the cell membrane, and it has to do with macrophage lipid metabolism. Macrophages being our Pac-Man that gobble up inflammatory products. So we get a buildup in the brain of some inflammatory products, and it impacts neural development. Some of these SNPs are more predisposing based on statistics to early stage versus late stage. So for example, the ApoE is more contributing towards the late stage Alzheimer's, whereas this ABCA more the early stage. I don't know exactly what age is defined, but if somebody develops Alzheimer's in their 80s, which is what happened with my mother-in-law, that's more of a late stage. An early stage would be somebody that develops it in their 60s. Right, and they're different, slightly different mechanisms. Gluten has been associated with early onset Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So very strong contributor there. Turn it over, Anybody have any of these genes so far? Anybody at 804? You have, how many fours do you have? You're a 3-4. Anybody a 4-4? Who is that? You're a 4-4, right? So take all of this to heart. This is really important that you take good care of yourself. Good. Want to keep that brain.
We couldn't find that on any of our reports.
It should be. It's on genetic detoxification.
It's not, ours, I think currently it's not genotyped, right? Did you guys
Oh,
find
it's not genotyped anymore?
Right. So it's kind of, I'm like, not that, they don't tell us the early Alzheimer's. It's so silly.
Yeah, hopefully those things are going to change.
Here are the page numbers that they're on the sample report.
Sample report.
For APOE.
And that's from the, which, oh, you put them for all of them?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so, wow, Craig did something. He made a little spreadsheet. I love the scientist and engineer type brains that do this stuff. I love charts. So he made it, he put the gene and the variation and put down the result. And this is from my sample reports. So that would be a full, right? And he basically put down, if it was in genetic genie, some of these aren't, a lot of them aren't, most of them aren't. Genetic genie, genetic detoxification, he put the page number, his metabolic healing. So if you're looking for it on MTHFR support, that ABCA is on page 30. But if you have a more recent test that you did, then you're not going to have it if it wasn't genotyped. I guess I would love to have anybody who has a newer report to share with me so I can look and I can just make notes. I'll just make it on my copies, like which ones are not genotyped. That'll save me a couple hundred bucks and a lot of time running the reports, my genes again. Okay, good. So is this something you'd be willing to make available to the rest of us? All right, cool. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That's really great. The page number, so you can find them, and it's in my sample report, right? It's not going to be necessarily in yours, but it's probably the same page number because they will say not genotyped usually. Okay, there was another indication for, so some of these, like the TOMM40, that will increase the risk when you've also got the APO4. So remember, we talked yesterday about how they interact with each other, and sometimes there's a cumulative increase in risk that happens here. We have on the back, I'm trying to find the other one some of them don't say whether it's early or late. They just say increased risk. The one at the bottom, the IDE, take a look at the IDE. Is that genotyped? Damn it! Oh. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. I have a couple of typos Lynn pointed out yesterday, like BNDF. Remember, it's actually in there, it says BDNF. Because I was looking at it, I said brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and I looked and I went, did I get that wrong? What is it, brain neurotrophic? And then I just typed it wrong. Yeah, these were a work of love over the last few days. Yes. Somebody with a mic, please. Wait. I can't even hear you. So, okay.
Can you please explain the difference between the APOE 2 and 4 with the RSIDs?
Yes. So the 4 confers the largest risk, depending on how many of them, of Alzheimer's. The 3, they haven't seen any increase or decrease, so it's kind of neutral. So if you have a 3-4, the important part is that you have that 1-4 in there. If you have a 2-3, you're actually protected because the 2 confers protection. 2-2 is extremely rare. Does anybody have a 2-2? You have a 2-2? Way to go. Well, it's a little harder to find in here, but yeah. Why don't you do me a favor and take a look through it and just mark in yellow or red the ones that say not genotyped. That way I can just quickly scan through it. Yeah, thank you. Great. So the two confers protection, right? So if you have a 2-3, you have a little bit of protection. If you have a 2-2, which is really rare, so we have one person with a 2-2. You have a 2-2 as well? Oh, your daughter has a 2-2. Nice. Yeah, so a 2-2 confers protection against cardiovascular and Alzheimer's, right? So that's really good. On OAPO, okay. Oh, I see, because some of the, on True Report, at the bottom of one of the pages, it says your APOE status is 2-3, 2-2. On this report, you have to, we'll make you think. Okay, so it says APOE4, and I have none. I have a green. Okay, good. So then it says APOE2, I have one. So that means I'm a 2-3. You're a 2-2? Woohoo! You won the prize! That's a big prize. Okay, over here.
We have a question here. With
back here, yeah?
So I'm looking at my daughter's, and she has APOE, the RS7412, which is the 2, as a plus plus, so a double SNP.
So on the 4, she has a plus plus, so she's a 4-4.
No, she has it on the 2.
Oh, on the 2, she's a plus plus. She's a 2-2. But then she's a green on the...
She's
plus
yellow.
Plus on the green, on the 2. She has no 2, she's a 3-4. Okay, so we'll try to do this and try to not make this too complicated because it's a little bit of mathematics. So if a person has a minus minus, which is what I have a minus minus on the 4. That means I don't have any 4s. Now I can either have 2s or 3s. I have a plus minus on the 2, which means I have a 2 and I have a 3 because I don't have any 4s. So tell me what she has on both of those. You said she has a plus plus on the 2, a minus minus on the 2, which means she has no 2s.
No, she has a plus plus on the 2 and a plus minus on the 4.
Yeah, so she's a 3-4.
And what does that mean?
Okay, I'm going to write this up. 3-4 means that she's at risk because of the 4, but not as much of risk. So I'm going to write them up here. Can I write them up here? Will that help? Okay, so if we have the APOE4, if it's a minus minus, or we can have a minus minus, a minus plus, or a plus plus, okay? In this case, when we translate it out, there's going to be no 4s, right? So it's going to be either a 3, it's going to be either a 2-2, a 2-3, or that's it, right? But then you go here, 2, and we have a same thing, minus minus, minus plus, and plus plus. So I'm going to put these down. Minus minus here, there's no 4. Plus plus is they're a 4-4. If they're a 4-4, they're going to be a minus minus on the 2. Right? If anybody has anything different than that, then it's kind of mathematically impossible. Right? So if it's a plus plus and a minus minus. So let me do it this way. APOE4, APOE2. Then you have all the variations and stuff, but let me go to another sheet. I'm going to write down I'm going to do it a little differently. I just thought of another way to do this. So we have, the possibilities are 4-4, 4-3, 3-3, 3-2, or 2-2. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 variations, correct? So I'm going to show you what this is going to be. So APOE4, APOE2, okay? So on a 4-4, you're going to have a plus plus minus minus. Got it? Okay. On a 4-3, you're going to have a plus minus plus minus.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So on here, I didn't even see this. So I'm looking at the strategene, and it says here APOE genotype APOE 3-4.
That's what I told you.
But I'm not seeing 3-4 on your list.
What? 4-3, 3-4, same. Yeah, got it. You can put it however you want. 3-3, you're going to have a plus, minus, plus, minus. Make sense? 3-2, you're going to have a minus, minus, plus, minus. And on 2-2, you're going to have a minus, minus, plus, plus. Okay? Doctor. So if you want to interpret, we can, I don't want to belabor this, but on a break, you can look at this and figure out what your status is. But on the strategy and also on the metabolic healing, they do have a section that says your APOE status.
Dr.
So they
Rita
convert
Marie.
It. But this is the chart that you can use.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so on Nutrigenomics report, at the bottom it says APOE33. However, for the RS429358, it's minus minus, and for the other one, it's plus plus. I guess it means it averages to 33, but it's a little confusing to me.
Plus plus minus minus?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, you know, the one that ends with 58 is a plus plus. The other one, the RS7412, is a plus plus.
They're both plus plus?
No, I'm sorry. The first one was minus minus. So I have a green.
Okay,
and a
so
red.
I guess there's another way to get a 3-3, which I wasn't aware of. That would be 3-3, or it could be plus plus. Yeah. Minus, minus, and so it balances it out. That's interesting. Okay.
We could ask people speaking to raise their hands so we can bring a mic.
Yeah, raise your hand and stand. So
I have a mic. I have a mic over here. Dr. Rita Marie?
We have a mic here, and we'll get the next one with raised hands.
Okay, so... Hang on, we'll get a mic to Louisa. You got a mic over there, then we'll come back.
Please stand when you have a question. Yep,
stand
we can't
up when
see
you have
you.
A question, and then they'll come up. Okay.
Okay, so mine actually is the APOE plus minus, and then the APOE that is the 7412 is plus plus, and they're still saying it's a 3-4.
So you have a, tell me what you have on a 4?
Okay, so I have on the 429358 a plus minus, and then on the 7412 plus plus. This is my son's, son's, and they're saying that's a 3-4, and that's in a metabolic healing report.
Yeah, yeah, because there's no, you have a plus plus on the 2 because you have no 2s. Right,
okay.
That's what I put up here. 3-4 would be. This should have been a plus, 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 sorry. Yeah, I made a mistake.
Okay.
Right, so a plus plus on the 2 means you don't have any 2 in there, right? A plus plus on the 4 means you don't, you have a 4. I mean, wait a minute. Now you're getting me confused, all right? If you have the 4 and it's a plus plus, it means you have both 4s. Right, you're most likely going to have no 2s. I guess it's possible that, from based on what Nancy's saying, that there's an override, and I'll have to research that and look at it more deeply, more detailed. If you have any variation on yours other than these, and you're feeling like it's confusing what it is, let's talk about it later. Come up to me on the break because I want to see what those variations are. Because it's possible that you might have a 2 in there, but it gets overshadowed by the 4s. But based on mine, I have no 4s. I have a minus minus on the 4, and I have a plus minus on the 2. And I wouldn't look at that and say that's a 2-3, and that's what it said on all my reports, right? So if you have anything other than that, if you have like a plus plus on a 4 and anything other than a minus minus on the 2, let me know because I want to know. Okay, over here. Who had the mic first? Yeah, okay. Then we'll come to you. But raise your hand up and somebody else with a mic queue up over here to go there. Who else has a mic? Do you have a mic?
I have a mic.
Okay, she has it. Okay, cool.
So we could queue in the back and people with questions could come to the mic.
Okay. Well, that might take too long. Go ahead.
Okay, I have minus minus on the 4.
You have a minus minus on the 4.
I have minus minus on the 2. But then...
3-3, yeah.
I have 3-3 under strategy.
3-3. Yep, that's it. That, I wrote that one in. So you have a plus plus on the 4, minus minus on the 2.
No, wait. Minus minus. Both on 4.
Okay, so tell me what you have on the 4.
Minus minus.
Minus minus, okay.
On the 2, minus minus. But
yeah.
But then on their strategy, 3-3?
Yeah. So this is, yeah.
Oh.
I was wrong. Thank you.
Okay.
Because you have neither, right? You have neither a 2 or a 4 means you're a 3. Okay. 3-3.
I think I'm next.
Yeah. And 3-3 is the most common, actually.
So.
Yeah, 3-3 is the most common. Go
so
ahead.
Just a heads up, the genetic detoxification report has something different than the APOE4 for me, than the Stratagene and the True. They're totally different. So I know that's a new report for you, so I don't know if you want to take a look at
it. Yeah, I'll look at that. So what are you on? So you're looking at the APOE4 RS429358.
Yes, and the genetic detox, it's a negative-negative. On the other two reports, it's a plus-plus. So that's kind of...
Show me your thing at the break.
Okay.
I want to see that.
Dr.
Because mine matches perfectly with all the other reports, so that's why I'm going on, so I don't
there's
know.
Two agree with each other, and the other two agree with each other, like, but there's 4 reports total. And 2 say one thing and 2 say the other. I could show you at the break.
Okay, so this is a new science, which is clearly in its infancy stage. Yes, and I don't want to stay on APOE all day because I have a lot more I want to cover. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I found a grid, and I'll just show it to you at the break.
Say it again.
I found a grid that, on the internet.
Oh, okay.
That with a paper associated with it that I can show you at the break.
Thank
you. Or somebody.
And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Pass that on to us and we'll look at that. All right. So in general, we seem to be able to find matches between what it says on this report and what it says on the other. This is a guideline, a grid table that I just made up on the fly based on my understanding. And if there's some discrepancies, we'll find out and fill in the blanks. Okay, we're going to move on. That's Alzheimer's. We're going to move on to general brain dysfunction because this stuff is super important. I mean, mental health. So your homework for tonight is going to be to go through each of these and just find out where some of your problems lie and potentials and see if it actually fits with some of your life, basically. Go to the one that says mental health, mood, stress, sleep, focus. You got that one yet? Did you pass out the mood ones yesterday? Yeah? If you don't have one, raise your hand and somebody from the team will bring it over. It's the mental health, mood, stress, sleep, focus. Okay? Okay. All right, they'll come. Keep it up because All right, so I want to talk about the COMT. I always call it COMT. Donna calls it COMT. It's a really important one, and it's an important one because it's important for your mood, it's important predisposing factor for anxiety and depression, but also because there's some intimate interconnections between MTHFR, which we're going to look at a little bit later. So on the COMT, there's 3 RSIDs. The one that we look at the most is the first one, the V158M. And that's what I'm going to be talking about here in terms of the worrier or the warrior. The worrier or the warrior. So if you happened to be an AA, who's got an AA on this? It should be on, not genotyped. It's going to be useless. The COMT V158M is not genotype? Oh, it is. Okay, so that's the most important one. You're an AA on that? You're a worrier. Who's an AA on this? Who's the worrier? Do you find that that's you? Like, I'm worried about this, you worry about that? Yes? right? AA is a worrier. Who's a GG? Who's a GG? Anybody? Do we have any GGs? Oh, yeah, I figured you would be. You're a GG. GG? GG. Okay, so the AA is the worrier, and it's more prone to sleeplessness and anxiety and worrying about this and worrying about that. Don't hold up well under stress. Kind of fall apart under stress. The TT, the GG, are going to be more aggressive and more get it done, get in there, and don't fall apart under stress. That's who you want as an ER nurse, right? Yeah, I can handle this, right? Warrior, right? You had to go into war. Warrior. That's your warrior. And, yeah, and so the... And who's a mixed? I'm a mixed, right? A mixed is actually the best on this particular one. The least it is, not just because I have it, but it's the least stress on your body, right? The warriors are like expending and all. And some of the downsides of being a warrior is that, well, you have increased pain threshold, but you can actually break bones and not even know you had broken bone, which happened to me one time, but... and your stress resilience, right? The AA is you're going to have a higher level of dopamine. So what this thing does, it codes for the enzymes that degrade estrogen, dopamine, epinephrine, and norepinephrine, right? So it breaks down those enzymes. So if you have an AA, you're going to be more prone to anxiety. I think it's the warriors that are more prone to, like, the substance abuse and maybe antisocial behavior, lack of empathy. Like, just get it done, baby. Let's just do this. And they're all kind of, you know, there's risks for insomnia, schizophrenia, bipolar disease, breast cancer, because COMT also breaks down estrogen, not just the catecholamines. And so you end up with more of the 4-hydroxy, we'll show you that chart later, of the estrogen than you have the protective, which is the 2-hydroxy. Okay, an increased, this is an important one. If you have children and you, they're going into teen years and you test them, if they have SNPs in the COMT area on the AA or the, even on the warrior, what you're going to find, the warrior is actually going to show up as the green. Is that correct, Louisa?
Yes,
the green. Yeah, so... if these guys have a SNP in that area, tell them not to experiment with marijuana, because it's been shown that marijuana, especially in the teen years, coupled with this SNP, can lead to schizophrenia later in life. Scary, right? And there are some kids that actually will try marijuana and they get paranoid, right? And if that ever happens, if you know someone who that happens to, they likely have this SNP and they should stop it, because it can actually lead to schizophrenia later in life. The THC, right, not the CBD, right. I wrote that down. My marijuana, the THC part.
No, what was the gene combination again that you said on that?
The COMT.
The GG or the?
The A.
The AA?
The AA, yep.
Okay, that's the one to worry about on
that. That's the one, okay. One to worry about for that, yes. Wait. The GG is the warrior. No, it's the worrier. The worrier is more likely to develop schizophrenia. The AA is the worrier. The GG is the warrior. Yeah, it's the first one, the V158M. Where's the risk? Well, the risk allele is A. Where am I? Oh, with GG, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Whew, so those of you with greens on COMT thinking that you're hot, increased risk of psychosis with marijuana, with the GG. Sorry, I said that wrong. All right, we'll start again. AA is the warrior, my husband. Warrior, okay? AA. G, Gigi is the warrior.
Fighter.
Okay? Gigi. AG is actually, they call it the Goldilocks. It's actually the best because you have that balance both ways, right? So AG is actually the more preferred one. If you have the GG, which seems like it's normal, right? You're at higher risk of developing psychosis with THC. Okay, so be careful, right? You think it's going to mellow you out and put you to sleep, and suddenly there's people chasing you, trying to kill you, right? Because you're developing a psychosis.
Read it.
All right? Do you have a question back here?
Yes, I do. Kay. I was just curious, is it possible that if these tests were done earlier in one's life, it would have been different?
No,
because the genes don't change. The epigenetics change. You were given the genes, and the genes are there. Now, there are some people who believe that you can do some spiritual practices to change your genes. Maybe it's true, but I don't have any scientific evidence of that. No, you did this once. Now, you could do it later with a different company that does more SNPs, and you'll see a bigger picture. And as the research evolves, this is in the infancy, guys. This genome mapping started in the 90s. Like, this is infancy. So the same way back in the day people were bloodletting and using leeches to help people with health, and they were doing arsenic and mercury and all kinds of stuff, and now we go, whoa, that was archaic, right? It evolves. We're going to learn more. But for now, this is what we know. Yes?
Hi. I just want to add to that possibly because we're, talking about nutrition as well and how the changes, like you said, yes, the genes are going to be, forever in our age and through our ages. But I do see, because I'm a nutritionist, when we go through different stages and when I even test young individuals on estrogen and then the premenopause and then the menopause, where all these estrogens are, I get athletic, girls whose estrogens are just way down, testosterone's up, and it's just all over the place. And then they're in that, what you're saying, I've never tested them on genes on the comp, but their anxiety, there's some things mm-hmm. that they can't do. I just feel that there is also a connection with how our hormones, our estrogen through our life can maybe affect. Right?
That's why we're here.
I think
right?
That's
why we're here. Doesn't mean you're living with this. Yeah. What it means is it's the expression and how well you express it. If I expressed all these genes that were here, you wouldn't see me up here. I'd be dead or I'd be in some sort of, mental institution, drugged up, right? Because we get the choice to make the lifestyle changes and the nutrition and balance hormones so that we don't manifest this, right? So if you take a kid who's on a really cool, great diet and meditates and does all this stuff but has this SNP and they do marijuana as a teenager, that doesn't mean they're going to develop schizophrenia. Because they're protecting themselves. They're protecting their brain. And even if it says there's a higher risk means higher risk. It doesn't mean that it's absolute, even if you are on the Twinkies diet. See what I mean? So your point is well taken, but that's why we're here. Because the genes won't change. This report will be exactly the same. This is our DNA. This is what we were born with, right? We're not going to suddenly have green eyes if we have had brown eyes our whole life. We're not going to suddenly have a sixth toe sprout out if we have five, because those are SNPs actually. They're actually dominant SNPs, but we won't go there. So see what I'm saying? But this stuff is malleable. So the what you're talking about there is the epigenetic modification. And when we showed that yesterday, epigenetics doesn't mean that we're just, it's less like, this, oh yeah, your body's balanced so it doesn't show so much. It's actually changing the expression by popping those little histones on top of the DNA strands. And that you can pass on. So that even if the gene shows up, but the epigenetics, which I don't know of a way to measure those, there's no commercial way anyway, to measure the epigenetic modifications. But we have the power to change these things. Yes, totally. That's why we're here. Yeah?
Question. On Stratagene, my associate here says that on her CMT, she has the V16158, but it's fast activity. But it also says that, let me read it. Okay, it says that 4-SNP haplotype block, not detectable by 23andMe, containing the RS4680 GG, influences enzyme activity such that 20% of individuals with this variant have lower than expected COMT activity. Can you explain that?
20% have, yes. Lower. Have low, more, rather than less.
No, lower, because on your report it says it's fast COMT. But here it says because of 4-SNP haplotypes.
Okay.
All right.
So this goes back. This gets really complex. And this is stuff I don't think we need to go there. Because yesterday, remember, I said that some SNPs increase the activity, some decrease it. Some upregulate it would be the technical term for it. Some downregulate. And we find that there are variations here. In some cases, it's upregulated or it's downregulated. It's going faster or it's going slower. We get into haplotypes and all that kind of stuff. That's way beyond the scope of a class like this because we have to go way into genetics. And we need like a 12-week course in genetics to understand the lingo to even explain that stuff. Do you see what I mean? But I want to give you practical knowledge, not research and theoretical. And yes, if you find this is just one of your markers, one of your things that you're using to feed in. And a lot of times what it does is it gives a person a sigh like, oh, I'm not crazy. I'm not, you know, this is in my genes. The people who have been, you know, not able to take Tylenol for headaches because they feel whacked out and horrible and the mom's saying, just take it, you know, you're just a baby. No, it's in my genes because I have some of that stuff. Does this make sense? Right? So we need to use this as what it is. But looking at this, it gives me insight into like, oh, that's why I have a tendency to be that way when I'm under stress. Right? On my normal days, I'm not anything like what it shows up on my report. But get me under a stressful situation. And I don't eat crap, so it'd probably be also if I started eating junk, it would stimulate some of these to express more, and I would be on anxiety medication. And my sister was saying, how come you're the only one in the family that's not on anti-anxiety medication? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't know that. I didn't know. I went, it's our genes. It's our genes. I have the same genes as you. Very similar, you know. There will be variations in siblings, obviously. But I'm not expressing it. But I could. I used to always feel overwhelmed as a young person, and that could have developed into clinical anxiety. Making sense? Okay? So this is one piece that's going to help you to get insights into why people have certain behaviors, traits, etc. But it's not locked in stone. It just tells you how to be more careful with what these guys do. With an AA on this one, be super careful about giving them methylated vitamins. Okay? Because you're going to aggravate it, there's going to be a backup, you're going to get the buildup of the methyl groups, the buildup of more dopamine, they're going to get more anxious. So I'm really careful with people. If they have a homozygous SNP at this one, and they have also MTHFR, it's tempting to just go, here, take this high-dose methylfolate. And a lot of docs who are just learning about MTHFR and running like a quest test to find out what their status is, are then going, I'm going to be the, you know, smart person. I'm going to give them some nutrition. And they give them nutrition. And I've worked with these people who said, ever since I started taking those supplements, I'm like, high anxiety, I want to kill people, right? That you got to watch for. So that's the biggest thing I want to take away here is if somebody has MTHFR or, as we'll look at later, MTRR, which is related to B12, and you want to say, oh, we're going to give you a methyl B12, a methylfolate. Let's give you a gram or two or three or five. Some are giving 15 because they read some research paper, and these people go into anxiety. And it could be homicide. It could be suicide. It could be just, you know, not able to sleep. So it's really important. And so what I do, if I don't know their genes and I know based on a blood test that they're low in B12 or folate, I start with tiny drop doses. Okay, you don't know what they're going to do. I get liposomal. Seeking Health has it. Other companies have it. Get liposomal liquid methyl B12, methyl folate, and I have them take one drop, which is about 150 micrograms. They do well on that. I have them take two drops. They do well on that. It may take 2-3 weeks to get them up to a dose that I think they may need based on their levels. But I'm careful as all, and I'm like, anytime, if you start to feel like you want to kill your kids, if it lasts more than a day, it could be situational that they did something really wacky, or you want to, you know, you're just feeling this, I can't deal with this anymore, back it off. And that way you don't get them into trouble. I go super slow. Now, if they have a red, if I know they're deficient in B12, and they have a homozygous on the COMT, I know that, then what I do is I don't give them methylated at first. And we'll talk about that in the detox thing. I'll give them like hydroxy or adenosyl, not a cobalamin. Don't give them cobalamin. On the folate side, never give them synthetic folate. Well, folic acid, we'll talk about that in a later section. But I'll give them like folinic acid, or just tell them to gradually increase their green leafies. And then we see how they do. And then we go, okay, we need to get in and help you methylate better because you're not methylating well. Then I try it. But I get their levels up a little bit more so we repair that deficiency and then we move there. Does that make sense?
I love that you just verified that. That's really
interesting.
Come.
Question back here.
Okay. Yeah, I have the Goldilocks combination,
yeah.
But I had that psychotic break kind of thing with THC. So does that mean that the G was expressing in that, or is that just a combination of other things?
It could be, yeah, it could be. And there's other things that go into that. So this is just one of them. We just hit one gene on this page. MAO is a big one, and the interaction between COMT and MAO is super important. Is this helpful, like that we're deep diving into just a few? Because what it means is we won't get to all of them, right? But the major ones here are COMT and MAO. And let me see. There's 3 pages of these, so. And the GAD. Those are the main ones, but the other ones are kind of important, too.
Is that?
MAO isn't genotype. Okay, one more here, and then we're going to come back up here. Yeah.
Is the anxiety when you consume methylated products because it causes biopterin to increase, which causes more norepinephrine and epinephrine to develop, you think?
It's a buildup, it's an increase in epinephrine, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because you're slowing down that degradation and yeah, you get more of those products. And over here we have
if you could put your hand so we can see. Here we go.
I just wanted to say that clarification with the MTHFR and the CMT is so helpful because, you know, MTHFR is like the celebrity gene and you go on the websites and they're saying, you know, be careful, but they're not really saying why. And then, you know, I give it to my husband and he'd do really well for a couple of days and then he started acting like a freak and then like but back off. And now I know he probably has a SNP and I can't wait to test him.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And that's why I get really upset when I see people come in and my doctor tested my MTHFR and I have it and they put me on 15 milligrams of... And I'm like, how long have you been taking it? Oh, just 2 days so far. Okay, are you willing to back off? Or I can't tell you not to do what your doctor told you to do, but if you start to feel anxious, hostile, aggravated, well, yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, I felt really pissy yesterday. I thought maybe my period was coming early. Okay, right? So really, see, all of this stuff is telling me to tell you we've got to listen and we've got to ask the right questions. Right? This stuff is useless if you can't sit down with somebody and ask them what's going on. If you can't get it, what is actually going on for them? And what stuff in their life may contribute? So if somebody has early childhood trauma, they're much more likely to have these SNPs hurt them. Do you see what I'm saying? Because that trauma has caused them to be in fight-flight mode, the cortisol levels, the epinephrine levels, all throughout their life, that's going to cause more problems here. Somebody's just had the Goldilocks childhood and everything's good. Who's had one of those? Right? Okay. Case closed. So ACEs score. I'm going to throw this out here. Really important thing. Who knows about the ACEs score? Who doesn't? Okay. Good. Start using it with every client and every family member. It's a test. The ACE is adverse childhood events, adverse childhood experiences, something along those lines, the E. And it's a test. It's a 10 question. The basic one is 10 questions. And you get to see how likely this person is to have physiological manifestations based on these early childhood experiences. And I was in a room once where we were going through it and we did this and I had barely a one. I was like, well, I had this Goldilocks childhood. But I had it one because I always felt I wasn't good enough. And they said, well, that's good enough. She may not have abused you, but you didn't feel you were good enough. That's a trauma, right? But some people in that room had 7 on that scale. Has anybody done that, is willing to share their score? Okay. It's kind of personal, right? It's something that, You were a 3, right? A 3, that's a lot, right? Anything more than a 1 is like, you're probably not going to have serious stuff happening, but you may have some anxiety and some other things. But when you get into that, there's physiological changes that happen in the body as a result of this. And all doctors should start to know about this. This was a major study, and they're starting to use it clinically. Amazing. And there's a book. It's called Childhood Disrupted. And it goes in very good summary of the ACEs stuff. You can go online, and you just look at an ACEs study and learn about it. And you can download the quiz online. Have your people either have you asked them about it, but some those questions are hard, right? If you're just getting to know somebody and you're asking them, were they raped as a kid, right? But you need to know that if you want to help them, right? You don't want to be spending all this time, and they're spending all this time and money on food and supplements, and they're not getting better because they were raped when they were a kid. Fibroids have been associated with sexual abuse, like because that whole area gets that stress. See what I'm saying? So this is something that you can hand somebody as a part of your early questionnaires. Just add it to your questionnaires and have them fill that out. Yes. Wait. Here we go. Over here.
Thanks. I've been practicing as an energy psychologist for 25 years, and now I'm a naturopath too. But every single thing you said is absolutely right. I work with autoimmune and chronic disorders. That's the specialty of my practice. And every single person walks in and has an early life trauma, or it's in their DNA, as a recorded in their DNA, and I'm not talking about SNPs, I've never read their genetics before, but energetically, if somebody that is in your ancestry has had any kind of emotional reaction to anything, it gets encoded in your DNA, and then you pass it off.
Yep, that's so, that epigenetic modification of the DNA that gets passed on.
And then the SNPs absolutely, you know, attribute to it, lifestyle, environment, diet, et cetera.
Yeah, thanks for that verification.
But the ACEs is good, but, you know, if you just ask for a life history even in your history form without bringing in another assessment test, you can say, tell me of any dramatic changes or any traumas that you or anybody in your early family experienced. Because remember, our cognitive brains don't come online till age 7 through 12, depending on the individual. So until then, you are a sponge taking on every emotional issue that is around you, every attitude of a parent or caregiver. So
absolutely. And we have a speaker coming in later this morning to talk about some of that stuff.
That all makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Thank you for
and
that
And we need to look at that first.
We totally need to look at it. But what I'm saying in terms of the questionnaire, asking them the questions, sometimes people won't share it because they don't see that as related to their headaches or their recurrent miscarriages or their whatever. And they're embarrassed. Right? They're embarrassed. And filling out a piece of paper, people tend to be more accurate. But as you know, in working with these folks, they block it. And some people don't know that this happened to them until it somehow comes up later. Because they block it. They go away. It's like, I don't want to be there. Some dissociate and develop dissociative diseases where it's, you know, the split personality type things. They go somewhere to protect themselves from experiencing this. And they block it for a long time. I recently had an experience with a client, and I said, I read all your paperwork, and I asked this simple question, which opened the floodgates, and I said, This is great. I got a lot of great information. Before we get started, what I really want to ask you is there anything else that you haven't told me in the paperwork that I haven't asked you about that might be important to your case or that has happened to you that you need to know? And she like started to cry and she said yes. And she told me that she had never told a single person ever. Ever. And it's made a huge difference in her getting in touch with this. Right? And this is, she's just one of, you know, thousands, millions that this has happened to. And so just leading in, and you know, you get an idea about this happening when this person is doing all the things you're telling them to do, but they're not getting well. Or the opposite of that, they start to do and then they self-sabotage because they have this feeling, this energy feeling, this mental feeling that they're not good enough and they don't deserve. You know what I mean? So it's our jobs to use all of the tools at our disposal. And this is one of them. History taking is like 80, 90% of everything. And when you can take a good history and when you can connect with that person and you can build rapport and trust for them to open up, then you open the floodgates to really, really helping. This is one tool, but this knowing these SNPs is going to help tremendously.